But today is also Pentecost. Now that may not be exciting news to you, but it dawned on me this morning about 5:30 that the two days are related. Now I don't remember Mother's Day and Pentecost falling on the same Sunday. Of course, I know it must have happened in the past. Last year on Pentecost Day, we had the fruit. We brought fruit to church. And the word Pentecost means fruit Sunday, the festival of first fruits, when the Hebrew people would bring their first offerings of fruit from their crops and from their vineyards and so forth and dedicate this to God. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. It's also Mother's Day. So I want to preach on the day Pentecost fell on Mother's Day. That's my title. You don't see any connection, but before it's all over, I hope that you'll see a tremendous connection, which I never saw before. The day of Pentecost, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2, is the day the Holy Spirit came to earth. It's a special occasion for the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you from the book of Acts in the first chapter, 3 verses. Beginning with verse 4, verse 5, and verse 8. And being assembled together, that is, Jesus was assembled together with his disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days hence, talking about the day of Pentecost, which was soon to arrive, 10 days, actually, after Christ left the earth. And the other is verse 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then he goes on and says, as a result of this, you shall be able to be a witness for me throughout all the world. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. He filled the 120 people that gathered in the upper room, and the Christian church was started. I'd like to state this event in a little bit different terms. And to do so, I want you to go back to me to the book of Luke and the first chapter. The book of Luke and the first chapter. And we'll begin reading with verse 26. It'll take you back to Christmas time. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Verse 28. And the angel said to her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And then, if you will, jump to verse 30. The angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And now down to verse 34 and 35. And then said Mary, How can this be, seeing that I know no man? I am a virgin. The angel said, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee, and therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now here we see the Holy Spirit involved in the same role as Mary. That is, the role of bringing forth a newborn child. Now, as we ourselves, being one person, but a composite of a body and a soul and a spirit, so God, as one person, is a composite of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, you see, shares in the Father role and the Father image. He knows what it is to be a father. Secondly, God shares in the child image and in the child role. He knows what it is to be a son. Thirdly, God shares in the mother image and the mother role as the Holy Spirit. God knows what it's like to be a mother, to be a child, and to be a father. He knows those three roles in life. Jesus drew attention to the motherhood role and image of the Spirit when he talked to Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter, verse 3, 5, and 6. Notice, John records the words of Jesus, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born of the flesh, to be born of water, is to be born of an earthly mother. To be born of the Spirit is to be born of God the Spirit, or in a sense, the heavenly mother. Now, God is not a mother, but He performs the same function and the same role. Now, both women and the Holy Spirit are in the same business. Did you know that? Not men and the Holy Spirit, but women and the Holy Spirit are in the same business. What is it? They're in the birth-giving business. Not man. Not the Father. Secondly, they bring forth new life. That's their business. Thirdly, they are in the increasing population business. That's their business. Now, the Holy Spirit did not begin this role until the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit did not give birth to anyone until the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, it became Mother's Day for the Holy Spirit. It's not only the birthday of the church, but it's also the day the Holy Spirit began His special ministry of bringing about a new second birth in the life of individual people. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit began a new relationship with mankind He had never had before, the role of a mother. Today, God gets children the same way people get children, by the process of an actual, real birth. Today we celebrate motherhood of God and of women. Lest someone misunderstand, I am not saying God is a woman. I am saying God performs the birth role that a woman performs. Though He's not a woman, He shares the same role that women share. And I like to believe this, that this morning the women in our congregation who are mothers can identify with the Holy Spirit in a special way that the fathers cannot do. I believe that. The death of Jesus upon the cross, God the Son, made possible the selecting of children for God the Father from among people. God could have given birth to brand new children without using human beings. But the source of supply for God's children are going to be people born by other mothers. But God the Father could not take any of these for His children until Jesus died upon the cross, making their acceptance possible. But it still takes the Holy Spirit to come along when one accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior to produce a child for God out of that old unsaved person. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit literally gives a new second birth to the inner man, the spirit of man's makeup. And this new birth is a specific work only carried out by the Holy Spirit. I am a child of God this morning only because the Holy Spirit carried out the birth process within my spirit. And the same is true for you. And the new man that comes forth as a result is presented to the Heavenly Father, and we say unto Him, Father, because He is literally our Father. We bear His heavenly image, but at the same time we are produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. My children bear my image, but they were produced by my wife. Now, women, you have a tremendous place of honor, a place that is given to the Holy Spirit that is not given to man. Now, unless a person is born of an earthly mother, you can't come to earth. Unless one is born of God's Holy Spirit, he cannot go to heaven. You see, the motherhood roles are crucial to our existence, both now and hereafter. For everything you and I have this morning, you owe thanks to somebody's mother. That pew you sit in was produced by some child of some mother. The car you drive was put together because some mother produced the hands that made it. Everything you and I have we love was produced by somebody that was produced by a mother. All the good things America has today, you can go all the way back and we need to thank somebody's mother because they brought forth the people that brought forth the things that you and I love and you and I enjoy. Never thought about it that way, but we all owe mothers a deeper debt of gratitude than we realize today. When you drive home from church this morning, thank somebody's mother they made that car for you. Now, I want to examine this morning very quickly three questions that I think women face when faced with the possibility of motherhood. Now, I want to say the Holy Spirit faces the same three questions, women. You say, how do you know so much what we think about? Well, I'll just tell you what I think you think about. This is not my role this morning, you see. Maybe a woman ought to preach this morning. The first question I think a woman has to ask herself is, do I want children? Do I want children? Now, we're living in a time when I think women are really being high-pressured to skip motherhood. First of all, they are being attacked from the woman's live boot. Your body is your own, your life is your own, your career is important, and society needs the benefits of your abilities. And so the woman's live movement is putting great pressure on women to forget about children. You know, when Satan came to Eve, he said unto her, if she would eat the forbidden fruit, that she shall be as gods. Have you thought about what he's doing now to women? He has really cut down his offer. He says to Eve now, today, Eat of forbidden fruit, you shall be as men. I mean, boy, he has really offered you a lot less than he used to. He used to offer you to be God, now he offers you to be like man. But you see, men don't produce children. They don't give birth to children. Be like a man. Have the freedom that a man has. Then secondly, women are being pressured from husbands not to have children because that will interrupt the money supply which they need to buy all the things that their heart desires. And the third thing is that society is pressuring women to be childless with all sorts of propaganda like, why waste the best years of your life? There is no future and there's no glory to formulas and diapers. We have an overpopulation problem already, and you have the right to the same things that other women have that don't have children. And so a lot of women today are really asking the question, do I want children? And yet I think deep within a woman's makeup, there is that desire to be a mother and to have a child. So how do you know that? Because I believe the Holy Spirit's placed it there. That desire is not in my life because I couldn't do it if it was there. But I notice little children playing with dolls. That tells me something. It tells me that there seemingly is some kind of inner longing for children who are girls to grow up to be mothers. Somehow women sense that God has created them for this specific role, the role of a mother. Yes, we are made in the image of God, both man and woman. And yet I have to admit that women are somewhat different from men. And basically, it's the mothering instinct. It's just not in men. Maybe that's why the courts give all the children custody to women. Because they just feel like the man does not have a mothering instinct. And I think a woman does. Maybe not all women, but I think basically women are born with a mothering instinct which they share with the Holy Spirit. Now, a woman has a choice not to be a mother. And I think the question she often asks, are children worthwhile? It's an honest question. Would it be worth my time to raise a child? Would it be important to me to spend my life raising children? Would it be worth the sacrifice I pay? Will I get enough dividends in the end? Would it be worth it? And that worthwhile question, I think, frightens a lot of mothers. Because they say, I may not get the kind of child I want. I might get me a Billy Graham, and then I might get me an Adolf Hitler. I could get me a child that would be my greatest joy. I'd get a child that would bring my greatest depression. I'd get a child of happiness or a child of misery. Now, the Holy Spirit, I think, faced this question too, women. Do I want children? Do I want children? So a while back, I preached a sermon series on the seven common traits of all Christians. And I mentioned that out of salvation, God wants something. Not just that you and I can go to heaven, but God wants something. And I said, number one, God the Father wants children. Number two, God the Son wants a bride. But I never said anything about God the Holy Spirit because I couldn't come up with anything that He was going to get out of salvation. I scratched my head and I said, the Father will get children and the Son will get a bride, but what's the Holy Spirit going to get out of all this? And it wasn't until this morning it finally dawned on me. What does a mother get out of children but the joy of the children? So it dawned on me then that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are wanting children. Not just God the Father, but it's the Holy Spirit's longing and desire to have children. So the Holy Spirit says, yes, I want children. It's just the natural thing for the mother instinct to come out in the Holy Spirit. It's just the natural thing for God to play the role and say, yes, I want children. And I believe that message was conveyed to God the Son. I believe the Father said to God, this is my imagination now, God the Son was approached by God the Father and said, Son, I have a father relationship with you, but I would love to be the father of human beings. And Jesus said, oh. And then the Holy Spirit came and said, God the Son, I too would like to have children of human beings. And the Son said, why tell me? And they said, you and you alone can make possible that we have children of mankind. And the Son said, I'll do it. And that's the story of the cross. And today the Holy Spirit says, I want children. I want children. Now that's the first question women have to answer. Do you want children? The second question I think that is faced by a woman is that, will I be able to accept the children I get? One thing to want a child, but it's another thing to be satisfied with the child you get. You know, that's two different things now. You can go to some hospital rooms and you know, and the daddy, he's all upset because he got a girl. The mother's all upset because she didn't get a boy. Or just vice versa, you see. Always got the wrong name picked because didn't get what they wanted. The joke is always passed around by the father, can you get a refund in the hospital? Or is there an exchange privilege? Oh, it's the big joke, but sometimes it gets to be rather serious. I've never heard anybody leaving their baby behind, you know, for somebody else to have as a reject, but some folks may feel that way about it. And then I do believe there are many children, and I believe the runaway statistics prove this, there are many children who are not really welcomed by their mother, that are not really appreciated by their mother, that are not really loved by their mother, nor wanted, nor made over, nor enjoyed, nor admired, nor cherished. They were an accident. And so the question has to be answered. If I want a child, will I want the child that I get? For if I do not, then that child will be culled from my love and my affection and my attention and my admiration. And many children are. It's a very serious question. You see, there's one problem about motherhood. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. There's no sure things. The Holy Spirit now faces the same dilemma. Or you say, well, he can pick and choose who he wants. He can go out and get the best looking, the best acting, the best behaved, and the best trained. He can go through all of society and cull out the rejects, the troublemakers, and the failures, and the dead beasts, and disobedience. He can cull them all out and just pick the cream of the crop. That's not so. That's not so, women. You got the wrong idea about Jesus, I mean about the Holy Spirit. Look at John 6:37. John 6:37. Jesus said, all the Father shall give me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Who? Him that comes. That could be just about anybody. Look if you will at Acts 2:21. Acts 2:21. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will to the Lord may come. And the Father will say to the Spirit, I want that as my child. And the Spirit has no choice but to give birth to anything and everything and everybody and anybody that comes and says, I want to be the child of God. From the lowest, the meanest, the filthiest, to the highest, the cleanest, and the prettiest. The Holy Spirit has no culling choice. There are no guarantees that the Holy Spirit gets the cream of the crop. But the Holy Spirit gets the drunkards and the alcoholics and the rejects. And the Father says, that is to be my child. Give birth to him. And the Holy Spirit takes whosoever comes and wants to be a child of God. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll accept him. And I will love him. And I will want him. And I will admire him. And I will enjoy him. And I will cherish him. And I will appreciate him. I don't care what he looks like, acts like, or his background. The Holy Spirit is faced with the same problem, women. I want children, but will I accept what I get? And the Holy Spirit says, I will. And he gets everything. Everything. The last question, and I'll close real quickly. Can I raise the child right? Can I raise the child right? The mother projects down the road from the crib to graduation to marriage to employment. Can I raise the child right? Why is the mother so concerned about that? Because I believe the mother role is the crucial role in molding the personality and the life of the future adult. So how come daddy's not? Because daddy's not home. Daddy's not home. Most of the time. The mother's going to have the influence. The mother is going to be observed 10 times more than the father. The mother will have far more opportunity to teach and to train the child up in the way he should go, or she should go, than the father will. And the Spirit had to ask the question, if I have a child, can I raise him right? I want to say this, women, no one cares more about that subject than your co-partner, the Holy Spirit. He's very concerned that he raise his children right. And to help you do it, he says, listen, we're in this thing together, women. Now, he's not a woman. We're in this together now. You need to study my word. Not Dr. Spock, but Dr. Holy Spirit. Study my word. And study my example. And consult me in prayer. And enable me to help you raise your children right. Because, you see, the child you have is the child he wants. And he's very concerned you raise the child right. In a real sense, every Christian has two mothers. The natural earthly mother and the Holy Spirit. Both of them asking the same questions. Both of them with the same concerns. But one just a little bit wiser than the other. One who does have the answers and the power to raise a child right. God and women this morning share two common desires. Number one is a mate. God the Son desires a mate. God has never seen and known the role of a husband. A father, yes. A child, yes. A mother, yes. Never a husband. That's the eternal role of God as the bridegroom, Christ the Son, taking the church as his bride. The second thing he shares with women is, God does it, he wants a child. He wants a mate That's us. And he wants a child. God the Son gets the mate. God the Spirit. God the Father gets the child. And Mother, this morning I want to say it's a compliment to you that you and the Holy Spirit are in the same business. And much of your love and tenderness and thoughtfulness and concern, and I believe a partial reason why you are more interested in spiritual things than men, is because the Holy Spirit is so much like you. So much like you. And has caused you to see the value of Him as the example, whether you realize it or not. Father, we're thankful this morning for the role that you have taken, a role which you are willing not only just to place upon women, but a role which you are sharing with them. And as they ask these three serious questions, may they take courage by the answers that you yourself came up with. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.